Morning. I'll be reading from Genesis 32, verses 22 through 31. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two handmaids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip.
One minor correction. I believe Clayton's had five hips. You came with two originals. Is that correct? Isn't this amazing? Oh, here they are. I thought I'd lost my notes. Got a couple of compliments or comments, I should say, on my suit as I walked in. I don't usually wear a suit. But my daughter got married last October, and I had to buy a new suit. And I thought the suit I'd worn to her brother's wedding 10 years before that was fine, but the ladies in my sphere of influence seemed to take objection to that, so I had to go buy a new suit. Now I'm working on getting cost per use down. So, speaking of children, it was interesting as the children grew up, seeing the different phases they went through. Now, normally when we think of phases that kids go through, we think of, like, you know, infant, toddler, puberty, teenage years, and all this. But I think of more in the things that they were interested in. Jacob, in particular, when he was interested in something, he was totally into it, completely into it, kind of oblivious to almost everything else around him. He went through his country music phase, which, whew, I was glad that one went by. Let's see, whatever, Star Wars. He had a Star Wars phase. That's when Star Wars was, well, actually on the end of Star Wars when it was kind of going out. And then he also had a number of phases, but the one that really got under my skin was his wrestling phase, when he really got into the All-Star Wrestling, the WWF, World Wrestling Federation. Now, I don't know exactly how this happened, because that was not allowed to be watched on our TV. What good Mennonite would watch these guys trying to, you know, do all this crazy stuff and fighting? So that was not allowed, but somehow through probably extended family, kids on the street, whatever. And so they created the, rather than the WWF Federation, they created the MAWF, Moss Avenue Wrestling Federation. It was four boys, three other boys about his age, and they made signs. They'd go out in the backyard, and they'd spread out a blanket, and they'd do tag team, and they were just crazy into it. So I was trying my best to say, how am I going to get him out of this? So our next-door neighbor had two sons that were in high school at the time, and they both wrestled what I call real wrestling for York High School. And so we would go to, I would take him to York High School wrestling matches to see Jerry and Scott wrestle. And they were both pretty good. Jerry actually got to the state finals one year, so they would go into it. I took him to the Coliseum. I think it's right after Christmas. They have the East Coast Wrestling Championships or something when all the colleges and all go. Couldn't get him out of it. He was stuck on WWF. Whew, what a phase. Gladly he got out of that eventually. So I talking about wrestling this morning. Our scripture is taken from Genesis, where Jacob has an encounter, and it says here in the NIV that was read, a man. And different scholars have different opinions about whether that was maybe Michael, the archangel, maybe it was God, maybe it was some other spirit, really not clear. But Jacob wrestled with somebody spiritual. So, see if I can get this thing right. So I put up a map here so we can kind of get a feel for the way things, the layout of the land. If you remember the story, Jacob and Esau, Jacob tricked Esau into giving him his birthright. He and his mother then connived in order to get the blessing from his father. And after all of that, they say it was best for him to get out of Dodge. So he went all the way up to the circle at the top, which is the area of Haran, I think would be Jordan, modern-day Jordan today. And there he lived with his uncle, and he met his two wives, and he was there. He had to have been there at least 14 years because he had to work 7 years for each one of his wives, but probably he had children. He had 11 children, it said, when he came down. So I'm going to say roughly 25, 30 years he was there in Haran. And then something got on his mind or encouraged him to go back down to his brother Esau, which is circled in the bottom. That's the land of Moab. I think it really becomes Moab later, but sort of southeast of Judea. And that's where he was from. That's where his brother Esau was. So he decides he needs to make this trek back to deal with all the things I think he'd left behind in his youth, all the difficulties when he was going through one of those phases. When he left, and so he moves down, and like the circle in the middle is where the Yabbok River is, and I don't know what it is called in modern times, but he gets to this point, and he has an encounter with God, and he wrestles with God or the Spirit. So my thesis for this morning is wrestling with God is an essential spiritual practice. Wrestling with God is an essential spiritual practice. Now, being in this congregation for more than 35 years when I was here, one of the things I really appreciated about here was the practice of spiritual disciplines. The practice of spiritual, whether it be Bible study or prayer or meditation or solitude or whatever those spiritual disciplines, it was emphasized in fasting. I tried to practice those. But what I found out about discipline is discipline was making myself do something that I really didn't want to do. And so I have now, I guess, migrated and tried to get away from the word discipline and utilize the word practice. Practice is something that we do and it becomes a natural part of our life. I'll take an instance of food. It is my practice to eat a lot of fruit. I eat two bananas and an apple almost every day. And then I eat whatever fruit is in season. Right now it's kind of grape season, so I've always got a bowl of grapes sitting around, and rather than munching on the junk, I munch on the grapes. I still move some junk in there, but that's my practice. My discipline is vegetables. I'm not a vegetable person at all. Do you call tomatoes fruit? That's probably my favorite vegetable. Corn. I used to think popcorn was a vegetable. But anyway, But I try to discipline myself to eat vegetables. Now, Kathy's been gone all this week. So this week I've had a salad every day, except for one day when I went. So I discipline myself to eat vegetables, but I practice eating fruit. So in my spiritual life, I've tried to move from making myself do things to where something becomes a daily part of my routine. It becomes my practice. So I wanted to make that differentiation before we go on. And here, if you've got an insert in your bulletins here, kind of 5 points I wanted to make out of the scripture that to me have been essential in my spiritual practices. And wrestling with God is one of my spiritual practices. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit. We see here that Jacob, when he gets here to the Yabbok River, or the ford or whatever it is, the stream, he sends his family across first. And then he stays back, I guess, on the north side by himself in a solitude. One of the important things about spiritual practice is solitude. And maybe some of this has become later in life as I've slowed down, but I usually walk twice a day. Yeah, I usually, and part of that practice is because I have a dog that's got a lot of energy. If you don't walk her, she'll drive you crazy. So we walk 3 to 4 miles every morning and usually 2 to 3 every afternoon. And I make sure that that is a time when I'm not walking with anybody, but it's my time of solitude. It's my time of solitude. And it's my time when I wrestle with things. It may be simple things like the scripture. Whenever I'm getting ready to preach or teach, I wrestle with the scripture. I'm having this discussion with God. What is there? What has been lost in translation? What do I not understand about the culture? And I work on it, and what is it saying to me? Is that the right way to interpret the scripture? And I wrestle with it. As we look at the whole, all the scriptures, both Old Testament and New Testament, we see the personalities of the scripture constantly wrestling with. One of my favorites is Elijah. And Elijah just had a constant, his whole life, it seemed like, at least his prophetic life, was wrestling with God. Yeah, I got to do this. Oh, no, should I do it? Oh, I'm going to go hide. It's him really wrestling with God. As you read the Psalms, that is one long book of a wrestling match. Oh, Lord, I praise you. Oh, Lord, what have you done to me? Oh, my enemies are going to get me. Yes, I praise you. You're the good God that gives me everything. And now you put me in this position. Oh, I'm so down. And you see that all the way through the Psalms. Wrestling with God. We see Jesus saying, Lord, take this cup from me. He's wrestling with it. As Peter and Paul get into it over how do we take the gospel to the Gentiles? Do we do it with or without circumcision? Do we do it with or without all of our customs? A wrestling match. Peter, when he was told by God to go sit down and eat with the Gentile, and, oh no, he's a leather maker. He worked with leather. I can't do that. Wrestling with God. And see, we all through the scriptures, people are wrestling with God as a spiritual practice. In solitude, being there and having that time alone with God is how we do it. It can be in many, many, come in many forms. It can come in forms of the difficult things, the everyday things that God does with us. It was mentioned in the prayer, Dinah said in the prayer about the Allen family. I'm sure they're wrestling with God right now. Oh, how do we deal with this? Solitude. The second thing is name it. Now, there's no real name given to what Jacob was wrestling with here, but I imagine it was with his past multitude of sins. How do I go back and face my brother who I did all this wrong to? I ran away. I was chicken. I didn't face it. I got out of there. And not only that, there was a whole thing about the birthright. Now, the way the birthright works is when a patriarch died, when the head of the family died, all of the inheritance was divided among only the boys, the males. And it was divided so the oldest got an extra portion. So if there were 10 sons, it would be divided into 11 parts. And the oldest would get 2 parts and everybody else would get 1 part. So the oldest would get 2/11ths and all the rest of them would get 1/11th. In the case of 2 sons, the oldest one or the one with the birthright got an extra third. That's a huge amount. So basically, Jacob had taken the extra third for himself. And so he's probably imagining what's going to happen. Is Esau going to think that I'm coming back to claim my fortune? It doesn't say anything in Scripture about him taking anything when he left. So Esau would rightfully come to the conclusion that Jacob's coming back to claim what I gave him accidentally, but in my weakness. So I imagine Jacob is there as he's wrestling, and he probably has been. It's probably the reason for the whole journey. He's wrestling with something, and he's probably has named it, though it's not clued to us in the scripture of what that is. But that would be my surmising of what it might be. The next point that I saw in the scripture is when the man with whom he was wrestling, this heavy being with whom he was wrestling, when he left, he wouldn't let him go. And I'm surmising here, but I think he didn't let him go because He doesn't really want to face what he needs to face. He's probably in the night come to the conclusion of how I'm going to face my brother. And I know I've got to do it. I've got to discipline myself to do it. It's not a practice. That's a discipline. And I have to go and do that. And he won't let go. And it's the same thing when we're wrestling with things, not to let go. Everything won't have resolution. But everything does have a place for us to go and to work on it and to continue to work on it. There are a number of things in my life that were complicated, difficult things to get hold of, to resolve, and many have not been resolved. But I'm not letting go. That's one thing the Scripture, I think, has taught me, particularly this Scripture, not to let go. So when things are, will it be something which we're out of sorts with someone in our family, whether it be the case of the Allen family, the loss of a loved one, or as we age, you know, the things happen that make it more difficult for us to just get around, but not to let go, to let God be a part of that, and to wrestle with it, wrestling with God. Don't let it go. The fourth thing that I saw here was that of a new identity. When Jacob began to really wrestle with God, God saw it as a time to give him a new identity. He was no longer Jacob, which I believe one of the ways that can be interpreted is the deceiver as his name. He was now Israel, man who contends with God, man who wrestles with God. El being God and Israel, the first part of it being the wrestling part, man who wrestles. So he became a person who was known as a wrestler with God. He saw himself not only the limp was the physical and the outward thing that showed, but it was the inward thing that changed. And I'm sure that inward conversation, that inward discussion, that inward difficulty that he was working to resolve gave him what it took to go and face his brother and says, and possibly say, probably say, I'm not here to claim, because when I worked with Laban, I gained all of this measure of material stuff. And I'm even giving you some. I don't need anything. I just need your forgiveness. And wrestling with it, and taking that new identity and claiming who God really wanted him to be. And of course, the new name, I referred to it just a second ago, Israel. He was given a new name. I tried to come up with some things that, what if my name became Israel Jim? Something like that. Jim who wrestled with God. Wouldn't that be a good thing to be known as, to have a new name? But having a new name is important. And I thought about this congregation. I was in this congregation. I was trying to figure out how long it was. It was a little over 35 years. And during that time, we wrestled with some tough stuff. Now, it may not sound so tough, but two of them stand out. When I first came to this church in about 1977, I believe it was, we were wrestling with divorce and remarriage. Now that kind of seems like way back in the past, and it is. It's a long time ago, 40 years ago or more. And in looking at that, we were trying to determine whether a person who was divorced could be on church council, could be an elder, could be a pastor. And I believe our conclusion was no. And then the other part, if you were remarried, could you even be a member? And some people that wasn't very comfortable for. And so we wrestled with it as a congregation. We looked at the Scripture. The next thing we looked at, and I believe this was probably late 80s, early 90s, maybe mid 90s, we looked at women in leadership. Could a woman be a pastor? Should a woman be an elder? And wow, were we divided. There were some who thought, a woman should never get up front and do anything, teach or anything. And there were others who were thinking women should be able to do anything a man can do, preach, teach, be a lead pastor. And we wrestled and we struggled. We had, I think, 3 months of Wednesday night teaching on that, and 3 months of preaching on that, open discussions. But we wrestled with it. Congregation should wrestle with things that are difficult with them. Our culture changes, and as our culture changes, the things we wrestle with become different. And we need to face them head on. So I've decided to give this congregation a new name. Now let me tell you about the first time I tried that. we were in a congregational meeting. Won't call it a business, a congregational meeting. And it was at the end, and said, this, you know, you have any other comments or something? And I said, I think we need to change our name. I said, we're named after Huntington, who is a shipbuilder of warships. And I said, that doesn't make any sense for Mennonite to be named it. You think I'd grown a third eye? That went over like a lead balloon. We were Huntington Mennonite. So I'm going to try it again. And I'm calling this Huntington Mennonite Wrestling Congregation. What do y'all think about that? To be known as a congregation that wrestles with the difficult things that come before us, whether it be cultural issues, whether it be scriptural issues, whether it be internal conflicts, we will put it out in the open and we will wrestle with it. A wrestling congregation. What a good way to be known. Let us pray. Father, we look at your scripture, and there are many different ways to look at it, to understand it. And this morning, we've come at the point of where we want to be known as people who wrestle with God, or at least I do, and I hope the body that's here today takes on the practice of wrestling with you. Lord, facing the difficult things in our life, or maybe even the easy things in our life, whether it be understanding of Scripture, whether it be the difficulty I have in getting along with my spouse or my neighbor or my friends or my family. Lord, that I just wrestle with them and that you're part of that wrestling. Lord, when I struggle with things, I don't leave you out. Help us to keep that in mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.